Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
If you have a long commute, you may have found yourself wondering about the familiar strangers you pass each day on the way to and from work, and that woman on the bus who's always lost in thought, or that fella in the second floor apartment. That's the experience that the writer Paula Hawkins had during her journey to and from a college in London, and she turned those daydreams into the hugely successful crime thriller The Girl on the Train. And even though it's only March, it's already being hailed as the book of 2015. It's been a favourite of mine, and I've been recommending it to you for the last 4 weeks or so, and I'm delighted to say that Paula has joined us in studio, and you're very welcome, Paula.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I was born in Zimbabwe, and I lived there till I was 17. Then I moved to London, and I've been in London pretty much ever since.
London is a tremendous city, but it's bustling and it's busy, and it can be a very lonely place.
Yes. And so when I first moved, it was kind of a culture shock. And I was commuting into college, and I was quite lonely. And I used to sit on it was an above ground section of a tube line. And I'd look into the houses that I passed. Yeah. I got this whole thing where I like to look at these houses, and the people had strung up coloured lights, and it all looked quite bohemian. And I kind of felt like I was forming a connection with the people that lived there. And sort of a germ of an idea started to grow then.
Yeah, it's something. Trains are wonderful because all human life, trapped in the same place, and unlike a bus where there's people coming and going all the time, train tends to give you time to settle on a face or a habit or a characteristic. So, and you've got a journalistic background, so your curiosity would have been more heightened compared to others. So did you take notes as you were travelling for putative books to write, or was it all going into the hard drive?
Into the hard drive, I think. I wasn't taking notes. I wasn't even thinking specifically about a particular idea. It was just that kind of sense of something that you'd start to almost daydream about. And I think that's how novel ideas start for me. They almost start as daydreams, and I mull them over for a long time before I actually start making notes and, you know, formulating something concrete.
And were you a fan of thrillers as a young person reading?
I started, like a lot of people, with Agatha Christie when I was a young teenager. You know, I just devoured those kind of things. And then there were none. You know, those really clever plots that she comes
dark
up with.
Dark too, by the way.
They are very dark, actually.
Beyond Miss Marple, you know, I mean, they're quite dark.
Because although they're not bloody particularly usually, they're very sort of dark things going on. And that's kind of the thing I'm interested in is the psychology of crime, really. What builds up to that, what leads up to a crime rather than the details of the act itself. I started with that. And then I read things like The Secret History when I was at college, which I loved.
Donna Tartt.
Yeah. Yes. Which really, it's a thriller, but it has so much more to it. All this depth and all this intelligence in it.
Yeah, layers.
I read a lot of crime thrillers now. I'm a big fan of Tana French, for example.
Yes, did you read The Secret Place?
I read all her books. I love them.
Okay, good.
And
The Secret Place had shades of
that very close relationship between a bunch of people in an academic institution, that sort of incestuous, incredibly close relationship.
So back to your sort of interest in crime. You mentioned Agatha Christie. Suddenly we think of the trains. We're back to the Orient Express. Yeah. We're back to, you know, the sense that the train can be a cauldron of stories that can coalesce into something bigger if you have the imagination to take you into a thriller. And so it really all began for you on this particular book with the train.
Yes, absolutely. I think there is something very literary about trains. You think strangers on a train as well. There's lots of brilliant stories that the lady vanishes, all those things. There's something about it. And I think a part of it is that it's that moment where you're in quite a small space with strangers, and there's this opportunity, because as you say, you're all sitting there, to interact with people.
Yes.
You may become familiar with them, and if you're on the same train every day, but it may just be a chance meeting, and that opens up loads of possibilities.
Well, speaking of the possibilities, you've made the central character in the book, Rachel.
Yes.
What was so, I don't know if clever is the word, but certainly the selling point for me, for friends and family and listeners telling them about it, was that because she has a drink problem, she is the perfect rubbish heroine, because she's an anti-heroine in some regards, because her story is faulty.
Yes, she's the ultimate unreliable narrator.
Absolutely. So
she is so unreliable. Not only can the reader not trust her, but she can't trust herself. No one can trust her.
Yeah.
She has memory loss and she makes terrible decisions. But I think she's also very real. She is. I feel a lot of sympathy for Rachel. She's just this woman hitting rock bottom. We're seeing her at her absolute worst, and then trying to sort of claw her way out of it. But her failings make her very intriguing as the central protagonist of a book, and it opens up possibilities when you have a character like that who isn't behaving in a way that you would expect her to.
Right, and her flaws make her more attractive in the sense, I don't mean attractive in the sense of the heart or anything like that, but more in terms of vulnerability. You feel for her. You think, she's got a broken wing and the poor thing needs a hug.
Some people just can't bear her, but I think most people have this... maybe give her a bit of a shake.
Yeah.
But then, you know, take her home, give her a cup of tea.
Right. And then, and yet she goes in and her flatmate, who's kind of a bit straight, a bit fastidious, and kind of a bit, you're not puking again, or you're not dragging some creature in the door again.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's had someone like that in their lives, so you can either deal with it that way. And also the fact that it's such a, you know, the Facebook, or as we call it sometimes, the fake book generation. She's looking and thinking everyone else's lives are perfect. Yes. How wrong is she?
Well, absolutely. And a large part of the book is about perceptions of each other. There are three narrators in this book, three women, and they're all looking at each other and making judgments about each other and judging each other's lives and each other's relationships. And over the course of the book, we see those judgments get eroded and completely morph into something different.
Exposed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And no one is quite what they seem.
No. And we obviously know we're into territory where we could give the whole thing away, which we won't do. But very cleverly, by the end of it, you know, you're just short of having to call Hercule Poirot to reveal the perpetrator of the crime, because you throw out... you know, about six, maybe more, potential suspects or suspects. So it's wonderfully confusing, but not in an irritating way, which is why the book is so good.
Yeah, I mean, actually, there are six main characters, and we have good reason to suspect everybody at one point or another.
Really good.
Which is maybe something I also borrowed from Christie, because she used to do that. Everyone had a motive.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's what makes it exciting. One of the things I liked about the book, and I say this respectfully, Paula, is the brevity of it. You see, something, and you talked about Donna Tartt. I think the amount of people who I know who's have half read copies of The Goldfinch at home, or maybe even a third. This is a short book that is all you need. You didn't need any more. It's perfectly formed within the pages.
Yeah, I wonder if it's part that my style maybe partly comes from my journalistic training. I have a definite an economy of phrasing. I'm quite, I
an
am
internal
quite brief.
Editor.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, go on.
No extraneous adverbs. Yeah, I think that is my style. I'm not a particularly flowery writer, but yes, I enjoy sort of punchy, shortish thrillers. I always find those the most compelling,
aren't they? And as I was reading through it, of course, like any half decent good book, I was filming it. I was watching the movie, which is great. I could see the train. I could see the, you know, Rachel looking out the window into the. I had it in my head. So this is going to be a cracking movie at some point. Is that all in train? If you excuse the ridiculous pun, wasn't meant.
We do that all the time. Actually.
I know.
DreamWorks have optioned it, so they have somebody writing the script at the moment.
Is that Steven Spielberg's company?
It's Steven Spielberg's company, yes. So, and they, as far as I know, they are looking to get a director involved soon. But I'm not personally involved in the development of it, so I don't really know.
You sell
when.
The rights and walk away.
I'm leaving it up to them. I've never written for a film, so I put it into the hands of experts.
Now, I know you'd written before, but not in your own name. So this is the first proper Paula Hawkins book.
Yeah.
So what are you on the road now to because clearly everyone's is waiting already for the next one. Where are you on all of this?
I'm writing at the moment. I'm hoping to finish the book over the summer, maybe by the autumn. A draft of it anyway.
Good luck with that, because all the touring you're doing, it's going to be an issue. But
yeah, I think I'm going to take the summer off to write.
Okay.
I hope to take the summer off to write.
Right. And is it London based again, or where are you?
No, it's not actually. I'm basing it in the north of England. It's Northumberland. And it's a story that centres on a relationship between sisters. It's quite gothic and dark. And it also, it sort of hinges on our memories of childhood and how our the stories we tell about our childhoods go up to make who the people that we are, even if in some cases those stories aren't entirely true.
Okay, I love it already. You must be a fan of Daphne du Maurier then, are you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you would be.
I think that, I hope that there's a kind of Rebecca-ish feel to this book, actually.
Lovely.
Yes.
I mean, all her books, you know, people would often think, you know, when you think of Don't Look Now and The Birds, they're all du Maurier short stories.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, but they don't go much darker than those stories.
No,
but most people will say Rebecca and Last Night I Went to Manderley Again, and you think of the fog and the trees and the who's sinister and who's not that sinister after all. Mrs. Danvers.
Yeah, she's very sinister.
She's very sinister. So, we were talking off air before. You were saying that you're a relatively shy person ordinarily, and yet you've been thrust into the limelight because your book is, it's on the shelves in New York as number one. So now you've become a literary sensation. How's that sitting with you?
It's quite overwhelming. I'm doing my best, but I still live my very normal, quiet life in South London. So, but yeah, this is all quite strange for me.
Okay.
I'm doing my best.
You'll learn to love it eventually, Pauline. Eventually. Let's take some text before we say goodbye. Sonia's on to say, got the Girl on the Train book for my birthday last week, just starting it this morning. So don't give anything away when you're talking to Paula, which I think we've achieved.
I think so.
Carmel says, it's so interesting to hear Paula speaking, and I'm literally on page 200. Rachel, of her thrilling and superbly written The Girl on the Train. I was gripped from the start. More books, please, Paula. Well, now we know that's all happening.
Yeah.
We have to go to the north of England for that. Great book. Made me think about that glass of wine at the end of the day mentality. You know what she's talking about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'll just have one. Now that I've opened the bottle, I might just finish it. You know, one of those.
Yeah.
Congratulations, says another, on such fine characters, such an accurate description of mental abuse, of course, there. Had to put the book down several times as I could see myself some years ago. Are you getting much of that from people who've...
Certainly some people who can identify with certain aspects of it, not necessarily just alcoholism. I deal with quite a lot of issues in there. There's infertility, there's abuse. Yeah, there's an awful lot of issues. But I think that's a nice thing where you can
take
a real connection with somebody
on different levels. Paul has succeeded so well in this book in so many ways, on so many levels. Detail, brevity and clarity are such difficult things to pull off, but Paula did it with great style. So that's a nice way
to end. Review, thank you.
Yeah, that's from our friends on listening in by text, 51552. The Girl on the Train is Paula's book. It's already sold in 18 territories, as they say, and counting. Number one New York Times bestseller, and it's number one pretty much in every bookshop in Ireland as well. You'd be glad to see and know, I'm sure you've been told that. And you're going to be part in the Mountains to Sea Festival,
this evening,
which is tonight. You'll be there at 6:30 in the Pavilion Theatre. That's a lovely venue for you, by the way. Great. You'll enjoy that. You'll be talking crime with S.J. Watson.
I will.
Before I Go to Sleep, of course, and Second Life, which I finished last week too. And Sinead Crowley, who's one of her own, she'll be in there too. So that's great.
Looking forward to that.
Okay, tickets €10 with a concession for €8. And that's it. Paul, it's been great to see you. I didn't know whether we'd get to meet, but we did. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I look forward to the next one. Come and see us when the next one's
out. I will do. Thank you.
Thank you so much.